not gonna try to speak Japanese for this one. I learned my lesson
Hajimemashite,
with.
lokumil desu, yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Yeah. Okay, that works as the fun intro. Thank you, Taylor. Welcome to No Highway Options, cinema podcast where we answer the one question that applies to every movie ever made. Is it better or worse than Vin Diesel's 2005 seminal masterpiece, The Pacifier? Pretend that was in Japanese. Pretend those lined up. I'm one of your hosts, Connor J. Burke, and if I was in this movie, my name would be Tangerine because hair orange.
I see. All right. I'm your other host, Luke, and I would be Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
And we have a special guest with us today. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, folks. My name is Taylor, and if I was in this movie, I would be NB.
Nice. And if you couldn't tell from our little introduction there, which you might not be able to, you might think we're talking about like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or something, but
Why
we're
would they think
actually
that?
because of the lining up of the names with the personalities thing.
And the opening in Japanese.
I don't know, man. Some people might be like, okay, maybe they think it's Kingdom Hearts. Maybe they think we've done a hard right turn and didn't look at the title of the episode.
We might come back to that later, that thought.
Y'all can't see my face,
What?
but my eyes are real wide.
I didn't think that. Yeah, our next episode is just the cutscenes from Kingdom Hearts 2.
Strictly Kingdom Hearts.
Anyway, the movie was given to us by last week's guest Dylan from Cocktails and Classics. Thank you, Dylan. It is the 1977 Japanese horror comedy House or Hausu. Over on our Instagram coming attractions game, nobody got it right. Only one person guessed, but that still means nobody got it right. I stand by it was a good hint, and if you watch the movie, you'll understand why. But we still want to do some shout-outs, and I did forget to add this part to the exam episode last week, and my bad for that. So quick shout-outs to the Disney College Podcast and past and future guest Crispa Nikki for getting the exam clue right. Even though one of them lives with one of the hosts, and I told the other one exactly what it was before we recorded. So is that cheating? I don't know, but it's a shout out. It's not like it's money. Follow us on our Instagram at No Highway Pod, where the first Sunday of every month, our Instagram story will go up around noon, and you'll have 24 hours to use some picture clues to decipher what movies we're covering on the show for the month. And if you get it right, you get a shout out on the show. All right, enjoy House.
Wow.
Does anyone have any history with this?
No, this is the first time. What a masterpiece, though.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I give it a 10 out of 10. I know we're supposed to do this later, but solid, maybe even like a 12 out of 10. Solid.
You gotta respect the absolute insanity that
They smashed it, dude.
ensues. They just the yeah, it was and it's I was gonna bring this up later, but I'll bring it up now. So this was actually made in response to an American movie. Toho, the distribution company, saw a certain American film and went to the director, Nobuyuki Obayashi, and said, "Hey, write something that'll look like this. Can you guess what it is?"
Ooh.
70s American film.
I'm gonna say old Starsky and Hutch episodes.
Interesting. What do you think,
Oh
Taylor?
my God. That gave me real Star Wars vibes, but I know that that's not it, 'cause Star Wars
No,
wasn't
but
horror.
you're not far off in both your answers. It's Jaws. Apparently, after Jaws did really well, they were like, "Can you write a script for us?" And he was like, "Well, I talked to my kid about what she's scared of, so I made this."
I mean, it ends kind of Jawsy for a minute.
I guess
Well, like
maybe.
there's a little bit of Jaws. There was vastly less nipples in Jaws, I would say.
100% less nipples, yes.
Yeah, I was... Okay, so if you haven't seen this movie yet, there is 100% more nip than I expected going into the screening of the film. First appearance, I was shocked, jaw dropped. Not because I'm afraid of nipples, but simply because we're talking 1970s Japan.
And it doesn't seem like it's a movie that would be nipply.
Right. The first time, it like very shock value, but they used, I dare say, they used nipples so many times that by the end I was like, yep, okay, again.
The great thing about, okay, so just overarching vibe, I actually was terrified. Not in like the like jump scare type terrified, but just how batshit acid trip crazy it was. Like, I was disconcerted the entire time, and I was like,
it's
I felt like I was in an insane asylum.
It's like the quote from the David S. Pumpkin sketch, there's nothing scarier to the mind than the unknown. Like, you don't know what's gonna happen with this, especially because it starts out kind of like a sitcom.
Yeah, like I got like, shoot, what's that game show where, like, it was, I'm pretty sure it was a Japanese game show, and they just did the like crazy stunts and people just fell off poles and got hit with shit.
Oh, didn't we talk about this in a earlier episode?
Are we talking about MXC?
Probably, maybe. But just
MXC,
like
Takeshi's Castle.
But yes. Then we, yes.
But
it was like a, they all Spike TV. It was on Spike TV.
Yeah.
And they dubbed over it.
Yeah, horribly, mind you. yeah, it was kind of reminded me of that, where it was like slapstick and very all over the place, and I just felt like people were quote unquote being pushed off the pole like the entire time. Also, I'm sorry if you hear my cat in the background. Speaking of cats.
There's one in this movie. And it is... It's a big deal. I mean, it's the center of the original poster.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, just the cat, and then everything behind it's on fire. And then just house.
Accurate.
Like how... And it's, you know, it just... It announces what it is. Like how the very beginning of this movie says, movie house,
like,
you know what you're signed up for.
Like, I don't know what I'm getting into, just straight into the point. What are we doing here? Movie
house. Oh, it's
house.
A movie. Good.
Fantastic. Absolutely.
Loved something
it.
Bonkers was coming, but I didn't know what.
I started to make notes for this podcast because I'm a good student, and I just stopped, like any good student does. Because there was just so much going on that I couldn't keep up. But the very first thing, I knew I was in for a wild ride the minute that scarf flew off, like, wannabe stepmom's neck.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, it was a completely different green screen panel, like, in the mirror of the door.
There's a lot of weird editing in this that, like, I can't tell if it was a mistake or if it was supposed to make you feel off-put or what.
There's
but
no,
like,
mistakes. It was all
it
on
worked.
Purpose.
I believe it was all on purpose. And if it wasn't on purpose, they
there
achieved
was enough
their
that
goal.
Was. That, yeah.
Yeah, then great job. Then, we got our...
Yeah.
Our main characters, there's seven friends. We've got Gorgeous, Melody, Sweet, Kung Fu, Prof, Fantasy, and Mac. And, you know, it's like the seven dwarves, like we mentioned.
Mac
apparently
is that character from Greece. But, like, the Japanese version. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
Rizzo?
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The eating one.
Yes! The other one! I said Rizzo, but it's the other one! With
apparently
the braces and the ponytail. Oliver.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to IMDb, Mac is not short for McDonald's, but it's short for stomach.
Oh, I thought Big Mac.
I thought Big Mac McDonald's as well. But
they said the thing about the stomach the first time.
Well, they said
she, I just did, assumed that, yeah, yeah, it was going there.
Like, this, didn't they say something about, like, she eats too much? She's, like, a bit, like, she eats sandwiches or burgers or something? Maybe it was a play on words. The Japanese are very good at using play on words as such.
Well, yeah, and this is, like, the subtitle translation, so we might not be getting everything perfect.
Indeed.
Even though it is Criterion, so they like to do stuff good.
That girl was also the same size as all the other girls, right?
Yeah.
I'm not crazy.
Like,
her face was a little rounder, but, like...
But, like...
Yeah, but she was the same size! But,
yeah, it wasn't noticeable, it was just... They were going down the list and they were like, well, we gotta have a fat one.
I know that, like, teenagers are mean and stuff, but they couldn't find one bigger girl in all of Japan.
Probably, like, not.
Mac there. Was never like, guys, stop. She was just like, yep, that's me, eating girl.
Honestly?
Man, we're gonna miss dinner because of all this spooky stuff.
She didn't have time.
Honestly, I love that about Mac. I'm like, I wish I had your body positivity energy. Like, can I get that
acceptance of whatever's thrown at you?
Literally. Like, can I be as excited about life as you are as excited about a watermelon?
So, ooh. I can tell watermelon. I can tell you're listening to this if you don't know the movie and being like, this doesn't sound at all like a horror movie. It's just about these seven teenage girls. They're going to Gorgeous' aunt's house and, you know, they're just hanging out, aren't they? There's, you know, weird little character introductions in a circle looking at the camera.
So many uses of that weird telescope shot.
Yeah, it's like, you must focus on this, iris in. I loved that every time.
Every time?
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Most of the time, but sometimes I was like, all right, can we pay attention to what's going on?
Maybe not.
But we go to Gorgeous's aunt's house. She has a cat named Blanche. That's the white cat that's everywhere.
Gorgeous has the cat at first, though.
Well, the cat goes and finds her. Yeah.
Well, she has the cat at her house. And then she takes it to the aunt's house. Like, I think it's probably the aunt's cat to begin with.
Yeah.
I thought it was her mom's spirit. I thought it was her mom. Like, I thought the cat was a good guy. Like, I was prepared right? for the cat to be the good guy, thinking it was mom's spirit. She was going to lead her to her aunt's house, and eventually the cat was going to, like, save the day. I was 180% wrong. That was a complete yeah. turnaround for me.
Oh, yeah. Gorgeous's mom died 8 years ago. And her dad is dating Ryoko, who is in the film for a second. And also Mr. Togo, their teacher, is supposed to meet them at the house for training camp.
So the teachers at this school are the same age as these children, right? Like, all of these actors are the same age.
It looks like 3 years. It looks like everybody's the college student teacher in a high school class.
I guess, like, maybe Mr. Togo looks a little older, but when they're talking to that gym teacher, she could have just been one of the classmates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the three adult characters, but mostly the male teacher, Mr. Togo, he is the front runner for the, is there anything as batshit insane as the one scene Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier? He does not make any sense in this movie.
I don't want to say he feels like a studio note to, like, cut to something silly. Because, like, this feels like nobody interfered with it, and it's just Obayashi, like, throwing whatever he wanted there. Like, the fact that Mr. Togo is supposed to go there immediately, but he's late because... in fast motion, he falls down the stairs and gets a bucket stuck on his ass?
Yeah, so that was one of those scenes where, like, you're trying to take notes, and so much shit is happening. Like, the store is called Shoemaker, and then there's a horse, and then the teacher in the bucket, and then there's bucket drumming. And, like, you can't, you're just fucking writing it down.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at my notes for a while, and when I glanced at them right before recording, I was like, oh, these are the scrawlings of a madman?
These are the scrawlings of someone who just got, like, who just had a tab of LSD and started writing down what they're seeing in front of them.
Basically. Yeah, his ass stuck in a bucket.
And then he turns into bananas at the end. He turns into bananas!
Because he starts screaming bananas instead of watermelon. Then he's just a pile of bananas.
The stepmommy comes up and all of a sudden you just see a car full to the brim with bananas with and Mr. Hat. Togo's hat on the top.
Yeah.
Oh, it's... Yeah. We get a little backstory on the aunt where it's a World War II flashback. And her fiancé goes to war and never comes back. But all the girls are watching and commenting on the World War II flashback.
Yeah, everybody's in the flashback. Everybody can see. They can comment on how the mom is pretty.
I think that's rad as hell. I feel like we don't see that much, and I loved it.
And I loved that it was like half silent film. And then all of a sudden you just hear a voiceover of one of the teenage girls like, oh, so pretty.
I guess he's oh, that's his draft card, isn't it? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's a draft card. Wow.
Also important, the house is in the middle of the nowhere. And right before they get to the house, they buy a watermelon. It's a big one.
From a guy selling watermelons. It's a watermelon store that's a fucking golf cart.
Yeah. You never seen side of the road fruit carts?
I've never seen a man with 100 watermelons in a golf cart.
He specializes.
It's a specialty item.
He's good at it. I mean, so good that it, you know, you can ignore the taste of when it's actually a person.
Did you see the watermelon laugh behind him as they were leaving?
Excuse me?
It did?
Yeah, one of the watermelons. When he was laughing, a watermelon was laughing. One of the hanging ones.
That's awesome. I gotta check that again.
Oh my god.
Little warnings.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah, I could watch this movie again and have a whole different experience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
This feels like a movie that like you'd put on at a party when it's like about to die down and you're like, just trust me on this one.
All right, everybody, grab a drink, sit down. We are watching House. And they're like, oh, that TV show with the doctor? Yes,
yeah.
That one. Sit down and pay attention, cuz.
Yeah, just hold on tight.
Hold on real tight.
Yeah, the ants there, crystals are falling down and trying to stab them.
What?
Can we talk about the lizard that gets stabbed? Like,
yeah, there's a lizard that gets destroyed.
And then the cat starts eating it?
Because a piece of the chandelier breaks off of the chandelier and falls because the chandelier is trying to kill everybody, I guess. But Kung Fu flies through the air and scissor kicks it and murders a lizard.
Kung Fu's tough.
Kung Fu is the best character.
Kung Fu is the best character. Also, completely unbothered, speaking of random shit flying at her and her completely destroying it, she chops wood in half, and then the wood becomes animated, and then the wood starts flying at her, and then
some of the wood is on fire.
And some of them are on fire, and she starts whipping ass, and then when she's done, completely unbothered.
It's... My god, this whole thing. There's, you know, there was some doctor reasons. I think the aunt's fiance used to be a doctor, so there's a skeleton in the house.
The
grandfather, okay.
Or her father, then.
I'm convinced that skeleton was grandpa.
Probably. He have one eyeball. And he's a dancer.
The only... grandpa moves, 100%. I'm going to say, because people are probably listening to this and going, okay, so it's definitely more comedy than horror. But I don't think so. But what I think the scariest part about the entire movie, not just like how disconcerting it was because the CGI was whack and hard cut scenes and things would just be weird. But there's a scene, I'm not going to spoil too much. but there's a scene where the aunt is eating a watermelon. And she's eating, and all of a sudden the watermelon turns into an eyeball in her mouth.
Yep. Oh, I thought that was great.
That was some scary shit.
I loved that.
I stopped eating my popcorn.
All the effects in this, too. Apparently, they were made to look unrealistic.
Nailed it.
And yeah, it worked really well. The director, Obayashi, had some experience working on TV commercials, but he was like, he had some real effects stuff, but he was like, you know what? This is a lot of, like, what a kid is scared of. My daughter told me a lot of, like, this is what she's scared of, so let's make it look like some kid shit.
I mean, like, through that lens, yeah, for sure. Yeah. This whole thing could have been a Gushers commercial, you know?
To a point.
I mean, Melody gets eaten by the piano.
Yeah, squash.
And then all of a sudden it turns
the colors a little bit.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it turns sexual. Like, her head just appears in the sidebar and she's like, oh, naughty. What?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of already has a partial Gusher commercial because Mac, when she drops her watermelon, the old Gusher commercials where, like, the head would turn into the fruit.
Oh my god.
There's the watermelon in the well.
Is the well thing...
Fantasy pulls it up. It's Mac's head.
I've never lived in olden times. Did people use a well to keep food cold?
Oh yeah, Coach.
Yeah, probably.
Well, we're going to say it confidently. Absolutely.
Sure. The confidence that this movie puts forward.
See, the historical accuracy of that movie. Brilliant.
It seemed like it, like, could have been true. I just was just wacky.
The whole damn thing?
The fridge was broken, but was the fridge really broken or was it just the door to upstairs?
Well, with magic. Yeah. They open it, like, you see inside it, you just see fridge stuff. But then when Ant goes in, she appears up top.
And we got Cat on a hot tin roof. We got dancing Ant and Cat.
Just having a good
time. Having a grand old time.
As Fantasy is losing her mind because her friends dismembered head. Mac's dismembered head. Came out of a well, flew into the air, and bit her hiney.
Yeah.
And there were no repercussions from that?
That was totally gonna happen too. As soon as they're fucking pulling the watermelon, it's like, that's gonna be a head, dude. That's the head is coming up. It's not a watermelon. I didn't know that it was gonna fly out and move around and then bite ass, but
like... And then say tasty.
Right.
And then Mac is gone from the movie.
Yeah, no more mention of Mac. Like, just gone.
I thought she was going to be more, like, just continued comic relief. She was just going to be floating around looking for food or whatever.
The whole thing is comic relief, man.
Yeah.
Ollie agrees.
Yeah, you got well water turn into blood. There's a talking doll that traps Sweet in a room. And then eventually Blanche makes mattresses kill her.
I was like, that was a hard pillow fight. Like, like, I have been hit by pillows and they have hurt. So honestly, that's a fair death, in my opinion.
Now, did she die or did she turn into that doll? What do we think?
She's trapped in the clock because all of a sudden she appears in a clock.
Oh, right.
That's right. Yeah. The clock.
Another Gushers moment.
Yeah.
She has green blood.
Green Gusher blood?
That's more of a Gatorade moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't they do all the... Oh, that's sweat. Never mind.
I was waiting for someone to...
Can you imagine?
I'm getting my commercial fluids mixed up. I'm sorry.
The Gatorade commercial? It's like... Whoever, it's...
It's like a boxer.
Armpits just start gushing Gatorade.
It's blood.
he gets his nose broken and it's all just like bright purple.
Ah, man, it's like Marshawn Lynch. He runs the football in and then he's like, oh man, I'm so thirsty, and he just starts bleeding green.
All right, I got the fluid mixed up. It's sweat.
Wow. Brilliant.
There also is a slight story with this where Auntie's spirit possesses Gorgeous because the house is evil and eats the souls of unmarried people.
Well, so isn't she eating the unmarried souls? I thought it was that when we get the giant Gorgeous head exposition, isn't it that it's that she died a long time ago, but
right,
her
yeah.
body didn't leave because it wanted to get married, so her body kicks it in the house and eats unmarried girls.
Yeah, I got Sanderson sisters from that. Like, need to eat young children in order to stay young. Like, I was like, okay, Sanderson sisters, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
That's a horror trope. I can get down.
I think how you just explained it. I think at the point when there was a giant Gorgeous head.
And not just a descriptor. It was literally the character Gorgeous's head.
Yeah, and it was the size of the entire room explaining to her friends, hey, I'm possessed. I gotta eat ya. This is how it goes.
Sorry.
I wasn't checked out, but I was like, I can't focus on any of this. There is a giant head.
And then lips.
Yeah, and then like a solo lip, a solo eye, just everything popping up everywhere.
Let's talk about fucking wacky body parts all the time.
Yeah.
Melody is getting eaten by a piano. And all of a sudden, here's, we got some hands over here. We got a stray boob over here. We got her belly button. What does that have to do with the piano?
A lot of weird focus on just, like, the belly button section of the torso.
Yeah! Just a circle!
That's it.
I mean, apparently those effects were made. They were just chroma keying it, doing, like, blue screen. But he was just pouring blue paint on everybody.
I thought you were going to say, apparently his kid was afraid of belly buttons. That was on the list.
No, the kid had the fear of the piano, like, taking off fingers or whatever, and he's like, oh, I'll make it even worse, and I'll inspire a level in Mario 64 without knowing it. Ooh. You got that chomping piano in that one ghost house in Mario 64.
Just you.
That's immediately what I thought of. Someone else has to be like, oh.
It's been a while.
Me, I'm just, yep, confident, yes, amazing.
Yes, exactly, that's what it is. And, oh yeah, when Gorgeous gets possessed, she's like looking in the mirror, putting on her aunt's makeup, she sees her aunt in the thing, and then her body starts to fall apart and becomes fire?
Yeah! She falls all apart. I think that was like the first time that they did the falling apart, turn pieces of your face into the Mean Girls bean mm-hmm. book. Burn Ooh. Book. Bean book.
Bean book.
I mean.
And then everything lit off fire.
And then it was like a solid minute of just you looking at Gorgeous on fire. But not yeah. like... But not, like, flames, you know, around her body. No, like, a cardboard cutout of her yeah. shape and then just CGI red
lava
yeah,
in her body.
It's like if you took a silhouette painting of someone and was like, all right, I have to color this in only orange.
Yes.
But, like, the eye kind of looked normal for a little.
It was something.
If... People who are listening to this, like, people who listen, usually, I have friends who have told me, like, oh, I like listening to this because, like, I don't have to watch the movie, it feels like, I feel like I can picture it, I can get it. I feel like so many people don't think this is real, but this is what happens. Like,
these are the plot points.
Go on HBO Max and watch it, because, man, it's something else.
Worth it. 100% worth it. Because we got, at the very beginning, you get schoolgirl vibe, and you're like, oh, schoolgirl goes to cabin in the woods, and everyone, you know, like, okay, that's where this movie's going. And then you meet Watermelon Man, And you're like, okay, so maybe he's the culprit, but this is still, like, lighthearted, cute, kawaii, Japanese, like, whatever. You meet the aunt, and then you become suspicious, and then just all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, the dial, like, turns a little more, a little more, a little more.
As soon as the chandelier happens, you're done.
It gets turned up to 11, and then it's just one more and one more for each, like, little new thing. Like, oh, the Mac head. The flaming gorgeous. There's a mummy that shows up a few times
and attacks Kung He's Fu and Kung Fu kicks the shit out of it, mind you. And then, of course, the thing that gets Kung Fu is a lamp.
Yep. She gets shocked by the lamp, but her legs are okay for a while to save them. Or try to?
I thought she saved them because her legs, the chandelier completely consumes Kung Fu's upper body. But her lower legs are in like a Kung Fu, like, you know, jumping position. And they just fly across the room, hits a cat picture square in the face. And blood starts, another Gushers moment. Blood just starts coming out of this cat picture, and they're like, we're saved. It's the cat picture. If the cat picture is destroyed, then we're safe.
They go from being like, okay, so the house is haunted, the house is evil, this is the ant spirit, like, this is all bad, to being like, oh no, everything starts and ends with the cat. Like, kill the cat, but it's like, no, don't just kill the cat. This specific painting, they figure that out real quick.
But then they don't, they're not successful in killing the cat.
Yeah. The painting vomiting blood and, like, flooding the room. Yeah, it doesn't do anything. It, man, I don't know.
There's your Jaws moment, though.
Yeah, actually. Now that you say that, you know, Jaws blood in the was water. The inspiration, I get a lot of Jaws vibes from the piano scene when the piano's eating melody.
Yeah.
I get Jaws vibes from the water scene when Prof dies in the water.
Yeah. I think the if you want to make the biggest connection to like Jaws from this, it's like, how does a safe location become horrifying? So like beach vacation, shark. Boom. House.
Cat.
Yeah. That's
like weird word association. Watermelon. Bite.
Bite.
Yeah. Watermelon. Eat ass.
Oh! That escalated and I like it.
I was, the second it happened, I was like, oh, who's going to be the first to say it on the episode?
I knew that that bitch, Gorgeous, was crazy the minute we looked into her room. Did anybody notice the wallpaper?
The flowers?
Yes. It was just ugly.
Yeah.
No,
that was enough.
No sane Japanese teenager would ever have that wallpaper. And we're not talking like small flowers, like old grandma home sort of flowers. No, we're talking about like Kelly goes to Hobby Lobby and wants decor for her living room with Live, Laugh, Love on the wall flowers.
It's huge. It was like, what was it, a rose? I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But it was
ugly.
And it covered the whole, it was a wallpaper that did the door as well.
Yeah. Also,
it was like, what's it, the Stuart Little room with the wall and the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every little in the world can find a house that eats people.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
Just go to Japan. You'll find. Wow.
What did I forget to mention? I just saw it on my notes and I forget.
Was it the hot tub full of hair?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, the Gorgon, the Grudge, the Ring. What?
I mean, Japanese are.
But doesn't this predates all of them? Doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah. I'm not as versed in Japanese horror as I would think.
This movie gives me Iceberg vibes. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Not the lettuce.
Like the internet thing where it's like there's different levels to
it?
Oh,
okay. Yes. This gives me like iceberg vibes. Like it's not the tip of the iceberg, but it's like under the water level on the spectrum of the iceberg list. Mm-hmm.
Of like a Japanese horror iceberg?
Yeah.
I can see that. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. So when they figure out what's going on, when the girls are dying and they try to escape, like, Prof Melody and Kung Fu, for a while, the cinematography is slow-mo and, like, choppy.
Yeah.
With the phone?
Yeah, like, when they first try to call someone and they just hear, like, desperate screams on the other line.
Which was horrifying.
Right, which should have been audible.
Yeah.
To the other girls.
It's broken.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It's broken in the most deadpan voice.
But I like almost reloaded my browser because I was like, is it buffering? Is this what it's supposed to be? Because like it went on for just long enough where like something in my head was like, something's wrong. Like this isn't, something's wrong on my end. This is not right.
Fair.
But that's what they wanted.
Yeah, that might have been the scariest moment for me.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Scariest moments. I talked about mine, and Connor just talked about his. Luke.
I mean,
scariest. Or what was our scariest moments? Or actually scary about it?
See, nothing really, like, spooked me. I was having fun throughout. I guess, like, maybe the eyeball in the mouth, but, like, I was laughing a whole bunch.
As fun, as, like, goofy and kind of funny as it is, I do think the piano-eating Melody kind of freaked me out the most. Because, like, even as a kid, I remember specifically some sitcom, like, the one main actress was, like, singing somewhere and someone, like, slammed a piano closed on her fingers. And, like, that was a joke. Like, she started freaking out and everyone laughed. And I remember as a child being like, I don't like that. I don't think that's funny. That's not good. And this, it's just, like, taken to the extremes.
Yeah, well, so, like, my thing was that everything that came to, like, it was a scary point then went one step further to something ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we found this girl's head in the well. Ah, but then it's going to bite someone's ass. Or this piano is going to eat somebody. But while it's doing it, we're going to see a belly button. And then afterwards, it's just going to leave fingers playing the keys.
Yes, the fingies live.
Yeah, or the first time the piano, like, whatever it was doing before it was eating her, it turned her slightly evil.
I was like, the Pisano,
yeah.
Pisano, piano possessed her?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, did the strobe lights and kind of possessed her and then scratched her a little bit?
Oh, yeah, it's like, right. Oh, my finger, it scratched me.
Meanwhile, this entire time, every time the piano's being played, the skeleton's just dancing in the corner in the,
like,
back.
Arms flailing back and forth, rocking back and forth.
And it's that same song.
It really, like, there's the whole theory that, like, comedy and horror are really close to the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Just when it comes to reactions and being in a crowd, and they're all about timing and, like, letting stuff raise and lower. And this kind of is like, yeah, and we're gonna fuck around with that a lot.
A lot. Speaking of the music of that song, did anybody else think about the Black Parade when she started with that C? Bum, bum, bum. And I think it was another note, but I was like...
Yeah, there were a few times where that song specifically, she started on the G, and I was like, oh boy, here we go. There were a few other times, like, the main theme throughout the beginning, like, just a slight run of notes is the score from Up, the Married Life, that do-do-do-do, and then it would go off to something else. And I was like, no, keep going.
Horrifying.
See, I was on a different one. What
was your different
one? That song... that they kept playing, it was something. Well, part of it was like Kingdom Hearts adjacent, and not like any of your main theme shit. It was like one specific thing that I couldn't place. But you and it was like, it was like the first four notes, we were headed that way, and then we went off a different direction.
We were in the gummy ship.
But then they kept
ship.
Fucking doing it.
Yeah. We were in the gummy ship. We were headed to the Disney World, but then we veered left.
You heard those first four notes, and it's like, man, I really feel like I should be yelling at Donald to heal me. What's going on?
Donald, you useless prick.
This whole time we're cutting back to Professor Togo. At one point, he eats noodles at a shop, and one of the chefs is... A cow? What was that?
A bear.
That was a bear!
That was a bear. Bear.
Okay, I couldn't... I genuinely couldn't tell.
The shop was owned by a bear!
It was?
It was... He was like, oh, I'll have some noodles, please. And then the chef was like, here's some noodles. And then he was like, bam, 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 bam. And then they panned over, and it was a bear!
The bear was in a full chef's uniform.
Just cooking some ramen. No big deal. And then he's like, oh, this is the best. Oh, this is so good. This is great ramen. I'm like, it's made by a
it's
bear.
Like that, it's that, it was that psych thing with the people play basketball and then the video ends and it's like, did you see the gorilla?
Yeah. Yeah, literally.
Yeah, did you notice the bear?
Who handed you the noodles?
Literally. Wow. Yeah.
And the whole time he's driving a dune buggy everywhere he goes. Like, I thought that was just going to be for his first appearance.
Nope. He's got his tiny little dune buggy. And he, his last appearance, we mentioned he gets turned into a pile of bananas. Again, saying this out loud. It's, swear to God, it's real. It happened. But he first meets the watermelon man who's like, do you want to buy some watermelons? And he's like, I don't like watermelons. I like bananas. So Watermelon Man gets skeletized. He just turns into a skeleton.
They just start yelling about fruits back and forth.
And then all of a sudden the man, the Watermelon Man, just melts. And all of a sudden it's just a hanging head.
It's
That's
it's
it.
It's ridiculous. And that's the end of Mr. Togo's story.
That's it.
Yeah, it seemed like that was going to be like the key. Like, oh, he just figured it out. He's going to go save those girls with... Bananas,
he is banana now.
Yeah.
And then. So at the beginning of the movie, you think it's kind of normal. You think it's going to be like a teenage girl thing. And Gore just goes home and dad's like, honey, I'm getting remarried. And she's like, I don't like this girl. I don't want her in my life at all. And then it pans away and all these girls are going to visit her aunt. Like, all of a sudden, after you the camera scroll like pans to a pile of bananas in a car.
So many bananas.
You it's see the stepmom, which we haven't seen since the scene where she was like, I don't want you to be my stepmom. Comes into the starts driving down the lane with her scarf blowing in the wind.
Her trademark scarf.
She passes the car full of bananas like it was normal. Goes to the house and then bursts into flames.
Yeah, Ryoko enters the movie at like minute 10 and then is gone until minute like 86. And it's an 88-minute movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, all the girls end up dying. At one point, right before Fantasy dies, she sees Gorgeous, but, like, she's kind of switching back and forth between Gorgeous and Auntie, and, like, it's in a wedding dress, and is saying, calls her mommy at one
point? Yeah, with the solo nip out. Like, I was like,
yeah,
are
just,
we...
just with one titty.
Are we breastfeeding? Like, I was very confused.
Right, and then she says the mommy thing. How do you not get that image?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like Madonna and Child. Like, I...
Yeah, maybe that's what they were going for. I haven't been able to find anything. I'm sure some people have written essays about, like, just what's happening with this.
Wow, I'd love to read those.
But, I mean, it... when it came out in Japan, critics were kind of eh on it, but it got a really big cult following with the youths.
I'm not shocked.
Can't imagine why.
And I don't think it premiered in North America until 2009.
What?
So,
really?
Like official Criterion premiere release thing. It was, you know, people did, like, you know, bootleg VHSs and stuff, but
LimeWire.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and the Asian Film Festival in 2009 was when they started it.
Wow. Wow.
But what a time. Yeah, then yeah, Ryoko goes to meet Gorgeous, and Gorgeous is like, "Hey, what's up, Ryoko? My friends are going to be hungry soon. They wake up when they're hungry. Combust."
Yeah. Just
burst into flames.
I thought that was pretty scary, actually. Just Gorgeous staring into this poor innocent woman's soul and saying, "My friends are hungry when they're awake."
Yeah.
And just and smiles.
The very concept of spontaneous combustion is freaky.
Yeah.
Moral of the story is, here's the moral of the story that I got from this movie. Don't wear a scarf.
Pretty much.
Don't wear a scarf. That's what I learned from this movie, is that it's nothing but trouble. If you wear a scarf, teenagers will hate you. And if you wear a scarf and you're in front of said teenager that hates you, you will spontaneously combust.
That's just how it works.
What did you think of the green eye thing? That it was the cat up until it wasn't the cat.
Signified magic was happening.
Yeah.
Do you think it was like the spirit of the aunt going in? I can't tell if the true devil of the movie, the true antagonist, was the aunt or the cat or whatever spirit was possessing the cat. Like, which came first, cat possession or aunt spirit, like evil spirit?
Or were they one and the same?
That's possible. It could be a split up soul situation. It also ends with a long monologue. Not a long monologue, but like just a monologue that doesn't really mean anything. All I wrote was it explains the sequel to the Phantom of the Opera's title, Love Never Dies.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it was about. And it's like putting a bow on it. It's like, it's because Auntie's fiance died. That's what this was all about. It's like, was it?
Like, are you sure? Did you watch the same movie we did?
Yeah, I think this was about unnecessary nudity and cats murdering.
Which cats?
Which cats?
Now, is that something that anyone's ever heard before?
No.
That a regular cat can open the door, but only a witch cat can shut a door?
Other way around, I think.
No, that's
no,
right.
You're right. You're right.
Loved that. I'm like, where can I get that tattooed on my body that is not...
It's a nice little bit of lore.
Yeah.
That's going to freak me out if I ever pets it.
Well, my cat's just dumb and can't open a door, so my cat's...
I feel like it's easier to close a door than it is to open a door.
Yeah.
As a cat.
But, you know, that's what... But which? Which cat...
Like, if a door is already in a shut position, the cat's got to fiddle with the handle.
No, but here...
If it's, like, all the way clicked in. But if it's just open, a cat could apply enough pressure to close
it. But here's the thing. Why would a cat shut a door unless they knew they had to shut the door? That's the thing.
Yeah.
If a cat wants to get through something, they'll just be like, there's something in my way. I'm just going to use my cat head and go... But if it's open, what reason...
Why are they closing it?
What reason do they have to close it?
It's not only which cats can close the door, only which cats do close the door.
Ooh. I think you guys have sold me on this one.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good thought. All right. Do we think that's all we can discuss with House? Do we want to move on to the criteria? Do you have any more talking points we want to...
Here's the thing. Okay. I know that the listeners are hearing this and are thinking this is enough. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not enough. You need to watch this movie, and then it will all make sense. It won't make sense, but like the visual, it will make sense.
Yeah, you'll be watching it and be like, oh, they said that combination of words. They said the girl's body was trapped in a clock and started bleeding purple. I thought that that was just like a non sequitur that didn't make sense, but nope, that's real. That happened.
There must be a reason for this plot point. Nope.
Surprise! There isn't.
Surprise, it just happened, but you gotta watch the movie and figure out why the episode is called Another Gusher's Moment.
Yes!
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Wow.
Do we want to do the criteria? Which yeah. Let's go for it. To somehow compare this to The Pacifier. I don't know. I appreciate that Dylan was like, okay, you're comparing movies to The Pacifier. Here's a challenge.
I love it. I love it when it's like not even, there's nothing similar.
Just nothing. Absolutely not nothing.
Not language, not time period, not genre, nothing. Yeah.
Just.
Those are my favorite ones to do.
All right. So how was the soundtrack? I mean, it worked with the tone.
1,000 out of 10.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
Very strange. There were a few songs with words that I like didn't really catch, but I was like, oh, I thought this would just be like a score, but nope.
Yeah, that one at the end in the credits, that was a bop.
Next, where does the main actor land on the dieselometer, the comparison of Vin Diesel performances based on charm and ability? Gorgeous, I guess, would be our main character, and
that's what I had.
She's played by Kimiko Ikegami.
Beautiful.
What do you guys have?
I think it's got to be Dom Toretto, right? Like,
because it's about family. It's her aunt.
Yeah, you can say that, but also like
says Luke.
That's a character who has a crazy trajectory from like stealing TV race car man to a secret agent.
Yeah.
And her trajectory there. And also, he becomes a villain in the 8th one.
Oh.
Except he doesn't really, like...
Yeah, it's more complicated.
He's not... He doesn't stick a villain like she does, but...
Yeah. All right, that's actually a good explanation for that. I was thinking... I mean, it's kind of my go-to for any, like, supernatural strange movie we do, but Pitch Black... It's just a strange world and reacting to it.
No thoughts.
All right, that's acceptable.
Here's the thing, though. Like, in The Pacifier, Vin Diesel's character is just, like, it's like, he's, like, good cop. And Gorgeous is, like, bad cop. So, I can't...
So, you would say that Gorgeous is...
Gorgeous, because she is. Beautiful young lady. Like, if we're talking looks, I mean, she's not jacked, but...
Yeah.
She's no kung fu.
She's no kung fu.
She is a close second.
She's like, she's reverse Shane Wolf, though. The darkest timeline Shane Wolf. I don't know. Trying to connect.
Beautiful. Love it.
That's what we do.
That's
here.
What we do.
That's the whole point of the show. Did I like this as a kid, or would I have liked this as a kid?
Absolutely
as a
not.
Child, absolutely not.
I see. I said maybe. This shit was bonkers. Dude.
What kind of childhood did you have?
I feel like there was enough like funny stuff here, especially like if you watch it with people.
What kind of friends did you have as a child?
Absolutely. I mean, did you ever watch any like wacky horror movies? What's the one with the dentist?
No.
The guy, he's a dentist, and he, like, takes all the teeth out of the lady. It doesn't sound funny.
You said
as that description.
You said dentist in horror, and I know you're not talking about Little Shop.
Yeah, I was like, that,
I'm not.
That's all I could think of.
That's immediately where my brain went to.
I don't, it's probably called, like, The Dentist or something.
I have no idea.
Like,
I only saw it the once.
Thinking back,
and then,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to... Name another one. That one on the ski lift was
Frozen.
Yeah,
that came out well after we were kids, though.
Like,
it was like 2010, wasn't it?
Oh damn, was it that late? Okay, then I saw that way after I was a kid.
Like, okay, so what's kid, right? Like, kid, I'm thinking like between 7 and 11, I would not have liked it. I probably, like, my brain would have been elsewhere. If we're saying kid, like, 12 to 15, the group of friends that I had would absolutely have watched this movie because they were just that way. And I would have been there, mm-hmm. and I would have been doing literally anything else than watch the movie.
In the other room.
Yeah. See, I think this is a perfect storm of stuff I would have hated as pretty much, like, until I got to college. Because it's, like, horror movie, as a kid being like, it's old, I don't want to watch something that's old. Being in a different language, like, having to read the subtitles, even though all I watch are things with subtitles now. Not, like, the different language thing, just always having subtitles on. But, like, it's... like, it was a perfect storm of, like, no, not for me. Why would I want this? But now, great.
Yeah, this is great.
Great, great consumption of brain matter.
And it's similar to how I feel about, well, I guess it's completely different. But there's this Bollywood film called Three Idiots.
I love that movie!
It's so good, right? And it's so fucking bonkers. It's like Forrest Gump, but an hour and a half longer.
I love Bollywood. I regret my choice now for the next podcast. Oh! All right, that's fine. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Connor, I recommend it.
All right, I'll watch it at some point. It's beautiful. What has the director gone on to do? So as mentioned before, this was directed by Nobuhiko Obayashi is what was trying to come out. And he unfortunately did pass away last year from lung cancer in April.
Ripperino.
Rest in peace. But he has 60 credits on IMDb. He was directing stuff up until 2019. Other stuff that he's known for is the Discarnats, Sada, Turning Point, The Last Snow, I'm just naming things, I Want to Hear the Wind Song, and his latest movie I don't think has secured an American release yet. It's called Labyrinth of Cinema. I may have talked to somebody right before this episode, and they may have let me know that it's gonna come out this year, and they're just waiting for theaters to reopen to show it. I'll never tell. Or I'll tell you afterwards. It's not really that exciting. But
okay.
It's apparently a 3-something-hour epic about a movie theater that shows old war movies right before it gets closed, and, like, friends get sucked into the war movies, I think, is how it was described to me.
Sold. Yeah, next.
Yeah, no. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Wow. If only we could, like, actually go to a cinema, right?
Yeah, God.
Someday.
I literally had to dream about it this week.
This movie gave me Wizard of Oz vibes. Like, the sets. Ugh. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I see that.
I get that.
I feel like we could have gotten a beautiful Wizard of Oz rendition, Japanese Wizard of Oz, from this man. Rip. Ripperino.
Yeah, I'm interested in looking into his filmography more. Is there anything as memorable as the Peter Panda dance from The Pacifier?
The whole movie?
Yeah, a lot's going to stick with me.
Yeah. I think every individual kill.
Let's see. I specifically said Blanche the Cat and the piano, but also a lot of it.
Yeah. I specifically wrote down when Mr. Toadie, whatever his name is.
Togo.
When he falls down the stairs and lands in the bucket, and all of a sudden he's just in the bucket. Like, that will stay with me for the rest of my life.
Also, how that's all sped up. It's
that scene.
Like, I could just
the entire
I
thing.
Could just
the kid's
picture
drumming on his little
but it wasn't there.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
Speaking of Mr. Togo, who's the Brad Garrett, Carol Kane, insane, memorable side character of the film.
I gave that one to Kung Fu. All
right.
Also good.
Who'd you say, Luke?
I'm going to say Mr. Togo. But Kung Fu did karate chop my heart.
Like, she had me.
This is a Kung Fu Stan podcast.
Yeah, that's all we are.
I would say Mr. Togo, but the more we discussed it, Chef Bear is pretty exciting. The bear.
Oh, Chef Bear.
The bear? He's there.
Okay, maybe he's not.
He owns the restaurant.
He has Did a he successful make the noodles? Business. He's yeah. trying his best.
I feel like these two, the Brad Garrett, Carol Kane, and the Sound of Music subplot are like interchangeable at this point.
Yeah, with the specificities. But since you brought it up, is there anything in this movie that's as batshit insane as the Sound of Music subplot from The Pacifier? Which, in case you don't remember, is a subplot that comes in about halfway through the movie. Seth, one of the boys Vin Diesel is watching, isn't showing up to wrestling practice. But when he is found by the vice principal, Brad Garrett, he has bleached blonde hair and a Nazi armband in his locker. So naturally, everyone assumes he's a Nazi, and instead of saying, no, I'm not, he just goes home and sneaks out, and Vin Diesel follows him on a children's bicycle to discover he's actually playing Rolf in a community theater production of The Sound of Music, where he has a 40-year-old Liesel. Also, Vin Diesel ends up directing that production at the end.
Brilliant.
It's been a while since I've done that.
Wow. Amazing. I think I said it earlier, but I've got to give it to Mr. Tota on this one. Just the coming in and being, like, eating ramen in a shop owned by a bear, holding up traffic randomly with his bike or his car.
Tiny buggy.
Turning into a banana and then having their, like...
Bananas!
Absolute no resolution for his subplot.
It's just a pile of bananas. That's it.
That's got to be it for me, man. I'm sorry. And because it was freaky because when it's like zooming in on him and he's in the car, he's like hitting his head. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it's one motion hitting his head. It's like a loop. So he like hit his head once and then they edited it to make it look like
just keep going.
Yeah, like
he can't control
like
it.
Like the Star Wars, like,
Yeah. For me, it was either the whole movie or the fact that this was written as a response to Jaws.
Oh, that's good, too.
I think that's nuts.
Yeah, man. I was also, like, all of it, you know, the camera angles, the plot, the bear that owns a restaurant.
We do love Restaurant Bear.
I would eat his ramen. I would go.
Oh, absolutely. He probably has a little bear family he has to support.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I'm invested in supporting his family.
The more we talk about this, the more I'm just picturing Bob's Burgers, but it's a bear.
Oh. In a ramen shop. Wow.
Yeah.
Still H. John Benjamin.
Oh, absolutely. But he's speaking Japanese the whole time.
Yeah. Itadakimasu!
Hey, itadakimasu.
Linda.
Ne.
Linda-san.
Linda-san.
Alright.
Wow.
And what's your ranking and rating for this?
I give it a dune buggy full of man bananas. It's dead even for me, dog.
Man bananas.
You bet.
10 nips out of 10.
I give it 8 piano playing fingies out of 8, and I think it's better because of the insanity.
Wow, brilliant. Pacifier never stood a chance.
I mean, just in terms of sheer creativity and balls to the wall-ness.
Just, yeah.
Just nothing.
All right, well, that's our discussion on House. And now for our next episode, Taylor has our movie and they're going to give us some clues so we can figure it out. It's time to play the coming attractions game.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. Clue one. There's a live band that performs in the movie. Clue two. There's also a cult following.
Is this from the 2000s?
No.
Okay.
Clue three. All of the actors did their own stunts.
Is there a big mascot head involved here?
No.
Okay.
Clue four. Or question four. What do Coors Banquet and Dirty Dancing have in common?
What do? Colorado?
Nope.
I don't...
Answer. They're actors.
Coors Banquet is an actor?
Dirty Dancing is an actor?
Well, they're movies. Of course they have actors in them.
Wait, so is it a... Patrick Swayze?
He's in it.
Is it Ghost?
No.
Live band Patrick Swayze.
Stunts, cult following.
Roadhouse?
Yeah!
Okay.
Speaking of bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roadhouse it is.
Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott is the spokesperson for Coors Banquet.
Okay.
And Sam Elliott is also...
who has my favorite line in that
yep.
film.
Yeah, so Roadhouse it is.
I think I struggled with getting that as soon as I heard Patrick Swayze, because I thought Luke would immediately go like, oh, Roadhouse, as soon as he heard Patrick Swayze. But
no, I was on Red Dawn for a minute. I knew that it wasn't Red Dawn,
okay.
But that movie's been on my mind.
Wow, yeah. I was going to say, what's the greatest movie of all time?
The Patriot.
The Social Network.
With Mel Gibson.
Yep. And I told Josh is my partner, and I said, Josh, do I choose The Patriot? Do I just ask the question, what is the greatest movie of all time, and just leave it at that? But I felt that it was just too easy. It would just be too easy, so I went with something else.
No, that was a tough one. It took longer to guess than some of them have been.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for giving us that movie. Tune in next week for our episode on Roadhouse with another special guest. And thank you very much for being on. Taylor, do you have anything you want to promote or plug? Or
wow, hi. I'm a voice actor, and I do stuff, audiobooks, and I just got hired to do graphic novels, so keep a lookout for those. You can, I also crochet a lot, and I sell sweaters and stuff. I'm a general nerd, so I promote nerdom.
Are you creating the graphic novel, or are you voicing the graphic novel? Or can you not tell?
I cannot say. I am not creating the graphic novel.
Well, then.
Just curious.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being
here. Yeah, thanks
here.
For having me. This was great.
Of course. And as always, you can follow us anywhere at No Highway Pod. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There's the No Highway Option YouTube channel.
You know what I bet that bear in the noodle shop knew how to cook? I bet he knew how to cook chicken wings real well. Which relates to something that we're desperately on the search for. Me and especially Connor, he texts me in the middle of the night about it. He won't stop asking for it.
I'm not the one who texts in the middle of the night in this back and forth.
I'm usually
asleep.
We're on the search for a specific recipe, and if we get it, we'll dress up like bears and we'll do a live video of us making it.
This has not been discussed with anyone else.
I will tune in.
This is news.
Like, stream live.
As long as it doesn't tie into a Midsommar episode, sure.
Oh, man.
I'm too scared to watch
Midsommar.
Are there
bears making chicken wings in Midsommar?
There's guys in bear suits.
Brilliant.
Damn, I actually haven't seen
what
that
one
yet.
One.
I saw the other one with the head.
I'm too scared.
But yeah, the end of that plug is there was an old restaurant in Amherst, Massachusetts, called Rafters Bar and Grill. The restaurant has since closed, but not from our hearts. They had a chicken wing sauce called... called the Yukon Gold Sauce, and we are looking for that recipe. So if you can get us in touch with the old owners, you could have them call our phone line, get us in touch. We'll make that chicken.
I feel like I have to explain this to every new guest. I've never been to this place. I just got roped into it because I'm here. But we do have that phone line Luke was talking about where you can leave a message if you want to do the chicken thing. If you want to request a movie, we put in a random request roulette for a bonus episode. If you want to share your thoughts, if you watched House after this came out and want to be like, hey, what the hell was that? Then absolutely call us at 301-941-7493. Or 301-941-SIZE, if you're better at remembering words than numbers. You know, you could be a European / South African, I think I looked up the area code, and that's what it was. A scam that calls me 3 times at 5:30 in the morning. But, you know, that's possible. Not leave a message.
That's
sure.
Showbiz, baby.
That's, yeah, that's the risk of being like, hey, call everyone, me. Here's a phone number.
If you are leaving a scam, at least leave a message.
At least leave a message so we can play it on air.
So we can tell everybody about what's going on, what you want us to sell.
Yeah, we'll be your free launch line, like free advertisement, man. Ambassadorship, no down payment. That's some free exactly. advertising right there.
What do you know?
Don't you know? That's a free advertising there.
And this episode, I believe, is coming out around the time, so I think it's safe to announce that we are going to be doing a bonus episode that Luke texted me asking about, and I'm doing it begrudgingly, on Zack Snyder's Justice League. So tune in for that, where it's going to be 4 hours of me complaining that it's in 4:3 aspect ratio, and that sucks.
Brilliant.
But anyway, that just tune in for that bonus. We'll probably have a random request bonus coming up at some point. You know.
Get ready for it.
Yeah, I've been told if we do a certain one, somebody wants to guest specifically, which will be very strange if it actually happens. Anyway, that's
cryptic.
A tease. What'd you say?
I said cryptic.
Yeah. And of course, thank you to Ian C. Weber for composing our theme song. The C this week stands for cat? Cat works. Follow the link in our show description to hear all of Ian's cool compositions. Yep, the piano trusts him. The piano wouldn't eat him leaving only fingers. No, sir. I guess. I don't know. That relates, right? But anyway, that's all. Tune in next week for Roadhouse with another special guest. And as always, thank you again for being here, Taylor.
My pleasure.
And as always, for No Highway Option, I've been Connor.
And I've been Luke.
And I've been Taylor.
And these have been our opinions. And if you didn't agree with them, that's too bad, because it's our way.
No
highway
option.